I want you to picture something with me for a second. It is August 2026.
Okay.
You're sitting in your living room. You know, maybe you're down in Winston-Salem or over in Greensboro or High Point.
Right.
You're holding your morning coffee, looking out the front window, and you see the yellow school buses starting to roll through the neighborhood again.
Oh man, yeah.
You hear the air brake squeak. And instead of just enjoying a quiet morning, you get this heavy sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach.
Oh, I know that feeling.
Right. Because you're looking around your house and you're thinking to yourself, well, we missed it. We missed the spring rush.
It's a very real, I mean,
The idea that your life plans have to hit a brick wall simply because the calendar flipped past summer is incredibly stressful for so many families.
it absolutely is. I mean, people treat the real estate calendar like it's an agricultural season.
Yes.
Like once the harvest is over, you just hunker down for the winter. But what we're going to dive into today completely dismantles that narrative. We are going to look at why putting your life on hold is usually the wrong move.
Okay, let's unpack this because today we are looking at the actual boots on the ground realities of the fall 2026 housing market, and we are doing it through the eyes of Teresa Overcash.
Yeah, and she really knows her stuff.
She absolutely does. For some context, Teresa is the broker in charge and owner of Realty One Group Results. We're
Right.
talking about a 30-year top producer who handles real estate all across the Triad, Wilkes County, and up in the high country of North Carolina.
Which is such a diverse area, too.
Exactly. And honestly, it is such a massive relief to get honest, plain-spoken advice from an expert who's actually working right here in our backyards. Rather than listening to some national media hype that doesn't understand the local North Carolina market at all.
Local context is everything in real estate. The national news might paint the housing market with this broad, chaotic brush,
Oh, constantly.
right, talking about macroeconomic trends and federal interest rates. But what Teresa is seeing day in and day out across the triad tells a very different, much more pragmatic story.
It really does.
Sellers carry this deeply ingrained assumption that the housing market just dies the day after Labor Day.
Right. You pack away your white shoes and you pack away your for sale sign.
Exactly. But according to Teresa, the market doesn't close, it just changes shape.
Changes shape. I really love that
This
phrasing.
is so accurate.
Because when we actually look at what the numbers do, the whole wait for spring myth completely falls apart. Check this out.
Okay, let's hear it.
Teresa notes that in the absolute frenzy of the spring, the average days on market in the triad is 14 to 19 days.
Okay.
In the fall, it is 18 to 24 days. I mean, we are talking about a difference you could count on one hand.
It's barely a blip. It is a statistical rounding error to a normal family.
Exactly.
But here's the piece of data that should make every potential fall seller sit up and take notice.
Lay it on me.
While the time on the market barely shifts, a fall seller has 30 to 40% less buyer competition from other sellers.
Wait, really? 30 to 40%.
Yes. Think about the mechanics of that. You are playing on a field that is suddenly way less crowded.
See, this is what I don't understand. If the time it takes to sell is almost exactly the same, why on earth do people wait?
It doesn't make sense.
It's like waiting in a massive, sweaty line for a crowded amusement park ride in the dead of July, elbow to elbow with everyone else.
Oh, goodness, yes.
When there is a perfectly good, faster ride right next door that's totally empty, why would you do that?
People just follow the crowd, I guess.
Why would you pay 5 or 6 months of what Teresa calls carrying costs? You know, your mortgage interest, your property taxes, homeowners insurance, keeping the lights and the AC running.
It adds up so fast.
Just to maybe, possibly, get a slight price bump next spring.
What's fascinating here is Teresa's pragmatic math. When you sit down and actually calculate the holding costs, waiting for spring is almost always a financial illusion.
Right.
It costs sellers more in the long run. Let's say a seller thinks, well, if I hold out until May, I might get an extra $5,000.
Okay, sure.
But they just paid $10,000 in carrying costs to get to May. You haven't made money.
You've lost $5,000.
Exactly. And more importantly, you've lost 6 months of moving on with your life. You've paid for the privilege of being stressed.
So waiting for spring is literally burning money to buy stress.
That is a great way to put it.
But that forces us to look at the other side of the equation. If we know that chaotic families scrambling to get their kids into a specific school district are completely done shopping by August,
Right, they're settled.
who is actually out there buying right now to make a fall sale happen? Wait, are there really enough buyers in October to sustain a whole market?
It's a very fair question to ask, and Teresa breaks this remaining buyer pool down into three highly motivated groups.
Okay.
The defining characteristic of these folks is that they do not care about the school calendar at all.
Right. The school bus doesn't matter to them.
Not even a little bit. The first group is corporate relocations.
I hear that, but is corporate relocation really a big enough pool to drive the market? I mean, how many people are getting transferred in October?
Well, in a lot of markets, maybe not, but Teresa points directly to the massive influx of jobs specific to this region.
Right. The triad job market is booming right now.
Exactly. You have thousands of jobs tied to Toyota Battery, Boom Supersonic.
Cone Health.
Yep, Cone Health, Wake Forest Baptist. These are major regional economic engines that operate year-round.
That makes sense.
And the mechanism here is crucial. When these professionals get hired or transferred, they are on a rigid company clock. They have a strict start date.
They can't just take their time.
Right. They aren't casually browsing houses on a Sunday afternoon to see what's out there. They are flying in on a Thursday. They have a hotel for 3 nights, and they need to be under contract by Sunday night before they fly back to pack their current house.
Okay, wow. That changes the dynamic completely. They need a place to live yesterday,
Yesterday.
and they're likely pre-approved, highly motivated, and have corporate backing.
Extremely motivated. Then you have the second group, empty nesters and downsizers.
Oh.
These are folks who have decided they want to right-size their lives, and fall is a very natural planning season for them.
That tracks.
The heat of the summer is over, and they want to get settled before the winter holidays. They might be a bit more patient about finding the perfect layout, but they are very serious about finding a home that is in move-in-ready condition.
Yeah, they want to host Thanksgiving in the new, smaller dining room without having to patch a leaky roof first.
Precisely. And the third group is investors.
Investors, okay.
These are buyers who are actively looking to close out fourth quarter purchases. Specifically, Teresa is seeing folks rushing to hit 1031 exchange tax deadlines before December 31st.
I always hear that term thrown around, 1031 exchange. Why does that create such a rush for investors in the fall?
So a 1031 exchange is a section of the tax code that allows an investor to sell a property and defer paying capital gains taxes.
Oh, nice.
Right? But only if they reinvest the profits into a new property. But here is the catch, and this is why it drives fall market urgency.
Right.
The IRS gives you an incredibly strict ticking clock. Once you sell your original property, you only have 45 days to formally identify the new property you are going to buy.
Only 45 days.
That's it. If you miss that 45-day window, you get hit with a massive tax penalty.
Oh, wow.
So if an investor sold a property in late summer or early fall, they are under intense literal deadline pressure to buy a house from you in October or November.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting. If these fall buyers are so incredibly motivated
Yeah.
and they're up against corporate start dates and strict IRS tax deadlines, does that mean a seller can just ask for whatever sky-high price they want?
Oh, I see where you're going.
I mean, if you know the buyer is desperate to beat a 45-day tax window, can you just throw a massive number out there and squeeze them?
Absolutely not. And Teresa is incredibly firm on this point.
Really?
Yes. Pricing a home in the fall requires an entirely different playbook than the spring free-for-all. You cannot treat a fall buyer like a spring buyer.
Because they won't put up with it.
Exactly. Their tolerance for games is zero.
So according to Teresa, the right price is not just the highest number a comparable sale might happen to support on paper.
Right. Her metric for success is fascinating.
What is it?
The right price is the number that produces 3 to 5 competing offers inside your first 10 days on the market. That is the sweet spot where sellers actually maximize their net proceeds.
Okay, let's break down her math on this because this is where the rubber really meets the road.
Sure.
Teresa says if you price exactly at current market value, you get a clean close in 18 to 24 days, well before year end. You win.
Right.
But what happens if a seller gets greedy and prices just 3% over market?
That 3% overage is where the disaster starts.
Over just 3%.
Yes. In the fall, pricing 3% over market means your house is going to sit for 35 to 45 days.
Yikes.
And by day 30, you are almost inevitably forced to reduce the price. Now, because that fall buyer pool is smaller, Everyone in that pool sees that price reduction.
I see.
They don't think, oh, a bargain. They think it's been sitting for a month and now they're dropping the price. What is fundamentally wrong with the house?
It becomes a glaring red flag.
Exactly.
And it gets worse. What if they get really arrogant and price 5% over market?
Oh, goodness.
Right? Teresa's data shows that house is going to sit for 50 to 70 days.
Yeah.
You were bleeding right into January.
Yeah, that's rough.
And sellers who pull this stunt usually end up netting 3 to 5% below true market value when it finally sells because they've lost all their negotiating leverage.
They've signaled desperation, but there is a counter strategy Teresa uses, and it is brilliant. She suggests that if you price strategically, just 2% under current market value, you can often sell in 7 to 12 days.
Wow.
And frequently generate multiple offers.
Hold on. You want me to intentionally leave thousands of dollars on the table?
It sounds crazy, right?
If my house is worth $400,000, you're telling me Teresa wants me to list it for $392,000. Why would she ever recommend taking a loss right out of the gate?
Because it's not a loss. It's an auction dynamic.
Okay, explain that.
When you have a thinner buyer pool, you have to manufacture urgency. If you price slightly under the market, you immediately become the most attractive, undeniable option to every single corporate relocation and investor out there.
Oh, I see.
Instead of hoping one person negotiates you down from an overpriced number, you get three people fighting over your house, bidding against each other.
Which drives the price right back up.
Exactly. Sellers who use this strategy often net at or slightly above true market value, but they do it in a fraction of the time.
That is incredibly smart.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, an overpriced home in the fall isn't just fighting the real estate market, it's fighting the calendar. If you are still sitting on the market by Thanksgiving, you are in serious trouble.
That makes total sense. Pricing too high in the fall is like putting a massive price tag on a niche item at a small neighborhood yard sale versus a giant summer flea market.
Yes.
At a giant flea market in the spring, 10,000 people walk by.
Mm-hmm.
You only need one person with the cash and the impulse to buy it so you can afford to overprice it.
Right. It's a numbers game.
But in the fall, it's a small yard sale. Only 50 people walk by. If you price it too high, they all balk at it, and your item isn't smelling. Your house just sits there and gets stale.
That is the perfect mechanism to describe it. You cannot let your listing get stale in November because the foot traffic just isn't there to rescue you.
So if waiting for spring costs you money and who is buying is clear and hitting that exact right price is so critical,
right,
how do you make sure the house actually backs up that price, especially when daylight savings time ends and it starts getting dark at 5 p.m.?
That is a huge factor.
Add in the fact that North Carolina fall weather is incredibly unpredictable.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it could be 75 degrees and sunny one weekend and frosty the next.
This is where Teresa's practical experience really shines. She uses a strict 6-week prep timeline for her sellers.
It's weeks. Okay.
We're talking pulling comps, doing pre-listing inspections, deep cleaning. But her specific advice on fall staging is absolute gold because, as she puts it, fall staging is not about putting pumpkins on the porch.
Right. No cornucopias on the dining table.
Exactly. It's about managing the psychology of light and warmth. Her first rule, lighting.
Just having good lamps.
More than that. You need to turn on every single light in the house for a showing. Even the closets.
Just to make sure they can see the space.
It's deeper than that. In the fall, a lot of showings happen in the early evening, right as people get off work.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The buyer has just finished a long, exhausting workday. The sun is setting, the shadows are getting long. If they walk into a dim house, their brain subconsciously registers that space as cold, depressing, and small.
Wow, I didn't think about the emotional toll of a dark house.
By turning on every light, including the closets, you are artificially extending the daylight. You are manipulating the mood of the space to feel expansive and welcoming, regardless of what time the sun sets.
I never thought of it that way. You are fighting the psychological effect of a dark November evening.
Exactly.
And what about the outside? She mentioned something about leaves that totally blew my mind.
Yes, aggressive leaf management.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa insists that sellers keep the yard and the gutters completely clear throughout the entire listing period, which, as we know, is a constant battle in North Carolina.
Oh, absolutely. That was such a genuine aha moment for me. She pointed out that a yard buried in dead leaves subconsciously screams deferred maintenance to a buyer.
It really does.
It's so simple, but it's completely true. If I walk up to a house and the gutters are choked with leaves and the walkway is covered, I'm instantly doubting the seller.
You're wondering what else is wrong.
Right. I'm thinking, If they can't even rake the front yard to sell the place, what on earth does the water heater look like? Have they ever once changed an air filter?
It creates immediate doubt, and doubt kills deals.
Especially with buyers who don't have time to mess around with fix-up projects.
Exactly. Which is also why she emphasizes warmth on the inside. She suggests swapping out bright summer textiles for warm, neutral tones.
Okay.
But she warns against heavy seasonal decorations.
Which makes sense. The goal is for the buyers to picture their own holidays in that living room, not feel like they're intruding on your family's Christmas.
Exactly. And speaking of the changing weather, fall buyers are highly tuned in to the cold approaching. They are going to ask about the age and efficiency of the furnace.
Oh, for sure.
So Teresa tells her sellers to have their heating service records right there on the kitchen counter. Show them the tangible proof that the system is ready for winter.
Okay, so we've got the perfect strategic price designed to trigger an auction dynamic. We've turned on every closet light to fight the November gloom.
Yep.
We've raked every single leaf, and the furnace records are sitting on the counter. Even with all that perfection, what are the fatal flaws? Like, what are the mistakes that Triad sellers are still making that just completely tank their deals?
Well, Teresa highlights four specific traps to avoid, and they all come back to resisting the reality of the season.
Okay, what's the first one?
The first one is using spring comps to price your home.
Because the market has physically shifted since May?
Yes. An April premium sale where a buyer wildly overpaid just to beat out 10 other desperate families is not your comparable sale in October.
Right, those days are gone.
You have to use fall-specific close data to price a fall listing, or you will overprice yourself right out of the gate.
And I guess that timeline issue bleeds right into the calendar itself. Because her second trap is about Thanksgiving.
It is. Teresa says waiting until Thanksgiving week to list your home is a disaster.
Too busy.
Buyer traffic just drops off a cliff that week. People are traveling, they're cooking, they aren't touring houses.
Right.
If you want serious traffic before the end of the year, you need to be listed by early to mid-November at the absolute latest. You cannot fight the cultural pause of Thanksgiving.
Which naturally brings us to the daily schedule, too. Trap number three is ignoring the showing windows.
Sellers forget that the sun sets earlier, and they try to restrict showings to daylight hours.
Oh, I see.
If you say no showings after 5 p.m. in late November, you are cutting out half your potential buyers who work standard corporate hours. You have to be flexible with late afternoon and early evening showing appointments.
Which is why you turn all those lights on.
Exactly.
Now, the final trap Teresa mentions, skipping the pre-listing inspection. This one feels incredibly important, especially with the way real estate laws work here in North Carolina.
It is critical. North Carolina has a unique due diligence period.
Explain that for folks who might not be familiar.
Sure. So when a buyer goes under contract here, they pay a non-refundable due diligence fee directly to the seller for the right to inspect the home and potentially walk away.
Right.
In the spring, if a buyer finds a plumbing issue and walks away, the seller keeps that fee and easily grabs one of the three backup offers waiting in the wings.
But in the fall, you don't have those backup offers.
Precisely. In the fall's thinner buyer pool, a surprise structural issue during due diligence is devastating.
Starting to imagine.
If that buyer walks away, your house goes back on the market with a stigma. It sits stale for weeks. A pre-listing inspection lets you find and fix things before they ever become a negotiation weapon against you.
That is so smart.
This raises an important question for any seller, really. Are you trying to sell the house you have right now, or are you stubbornly trying to sell the house you wish you had back in May?
Oh, that is the absolute crux of it all. Acceptance of the current season is key. You can't force the market to be something it isn't.
No.
You can't force a spring market in October. But if you work with the fall market, understand the mechanics of the buyers who are out there, and price it strategically, it can be incredibly rewarding.
It's a highly pragmatic, proactive approach. It puts the control back in the seller's hands instead of leaving them at the mercy of the calendar.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? If you were sitting in your living room, weighing a fall sale in Winston-Salem, Greensboro, Wilkes County, or up in the high country, Teresa's hard math proves that you do not need to put your life on hold until spring.
You really don't.
You don't have to suffer through the winter feeling trapped by a mortgage you want to move on from. You just need to respect the fall buyer pool, price it right to create urgency, and for goodness sakes, keep the leaves out of the gutters.
Having an expert guide who actually knows the dirt under their feet in this specific market is invaluable.
It really is. Now, if you are sitting there realizing you don't want to wait until spring to get on with your life, you can reach Teresa at Realty One Group Results directly.
She's ready to help.
The contact details she provided are straightforward. You can call or text her at 336-262-3111, or you can email her at teresaeditor@gmail.com.
Just tell her what you're looking to do.
Exactly. Tell her your target listing month, and she can get you a realistic price range and that 6-week prep checklist we talked about. And she'll base it on current Triad buyers, not last spring's numbers. Again, that phone number is 336-262-3111.
A simple conversation now can save months of anxiety later.
Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we wrap up this deep dive, I can't help but think about Teresa's wisdom on a much broader philosophical level.
How so?
Well, she said the housing market doesn't actually close after Labor Day. It just changes shape.
Right.
And it makes me wonder, how many other major life decisions are we delaying because we're waiting for the conventional perfect springtime moment?
Oh, wow. That's a great point.
Are we paying invisible carrying costs in our own lives, you know, tolerating jobs or situations we've outgrown just because we haven't figured out how to appeal to the opportunities that are sitting right in front of us available right now in the fall?
Yeah, that really gets you thinking.
It's definitely something to think about while you're out there raking those leaves.